love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
So listeners, you might not know this, but Rolando and I are huge fans of the Disney parks. Rolando, would you say the Haunted Mansion is in your top 5 best rides at Disney?
No.
Wow, that's so funny. I actually would say it's in my top 5, although it would probably be number 5.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just, it's so unique. It's so kitschy. You know, I'm all about that vibe.
So corny.
It's a classic, but it's a it's not corny. It's classic.
No, it's not even, it's one of my least favorite rides in Disney World.
Wow. So do you have any love for any of the classics? Is there a classic that you just like better?
Oh,
so you're just one of those who don't give a shit about the classics.
I'm a thrill ride seeker, right? So I like Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, even Space Mountain. Space Mountain is a classic.
Space and Splash are fantastic. I love all those rides, but there's something unique about the experience, the immersive experience that a Disney ride like that can give you. You can't really get that in any park. You go to Hershey Park or Dorney Park, you're not going to get a ride that just throws you inside what it would be like in a haunted mansion and make it kind of fun.
I don't know. Six Flags Great Adventures, The Dark Knight, the ride.
Isn't that a thrill ride, though?
Took me into... No, it's one of the worst rides in the whole park. It's so bad.
I don't go to Six Flags, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, Six Flags is so good. But I'm a thrill seeker. I like roller coasters. There's no thrills in Haunted Mansion. Haunted and scary, it is not.
Well, luckily for other people who disagree with Rolando, the Haunted Mansion is a very beloved ride, so much so that it became a movie. And recently it became another movie, and that's actually what we're here to talk. It's a little variation on the remake, reboot, revival, but you know, it's Halloween season, so we just figured it'd be an excuse for us to talk about Disney parks and stuff like that. So
all right, let's be real here. This is an excuse for you to talk about the Muppets.
That's okay. I'm being real. Yeah, we're gonna talk about the Muppets. I'm so excited. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality. Excuse me, I am getting over being sick, so you might hear me coughing in the background, but, you know, I'm here, so that's what matters.
Rude.
So rude. And you know who else is rude? Is Eddie, not being with us another week in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
In his defense, we are recording during work hours.
Whatever. Okay. So. I'm mad. No, I'm not mad, but I miss him, and hopefully he'll be back next week.
Hopefully.
So 2 disclaimers. But, Yeah, so I can't believe you don't like the Haunted Mansion. I think it's such a fun ride.
I knew we were going to get into this right from the beginning, that when you pitched it, I was just like, that means we're going to have to talk about the Haunted Mansion, which is like one of the corniest rides. You know what other ride is so corny?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah,
yeah,
that's another
it is.
Corny ride.
It is, actually. But, I mean, I think that the Haunted Mansion offers you a little bit more than Pirates of the Caribbean, at least in its classic format, because, you know, that it's just like a bunch of, you know, pirates being pirates. Whereas like the Haunted Mansion has different characters and different like types of ghosts and things brought to life. And there's interactive elements in where you could see yourself in a mirror reflected as a ghost and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And overall, spooky, I think, is a cooler thing to be, you know, kind of immersed in, other than like, this is a personal preference, but pirates.
Pirates.
Yeah, I got it. You know, pirates, they traumatized me when I was a child, so
did
I
have
a thing against. No, I'm just saying.
Oh,
it could imagine like though.
The Pirates of Panache or whatever they are.
Penzance, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Traumatizing as a kid. It's
Gilbert and Sullivan traumatized
Pirates
me.
Pirates of Sing, no, thank you.
But you know, it's really popular. It's at all the different parks. It's at Disneyland, in California, in Magic Kingdom in Orlando, in Tokyo, in Paris, and Hong Kong. And, you know, it's pretty much just you get in one of those doom buggies and you go through a haunted mansion resided by 999 happy haunts. And it's got a really good song that I really like. Grim, grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Can't say that I remember. I've been on that ride every time I go to Disney. For
well, so.
Sake, and I'm going with the motions there.
Well, also Haunted Mansion is definitely like, okay, now we need a break and just sit and relax kind of a moment during that the day, because being at Magic Kingdom and stuff is so it's just so chaotic that you need those breaks. So it's a pleasant break.
It's so funny. Yeah, Magic Kingdom is like my third favorite park.
What's your least favorite?
Animal Kingdom, usually.
Oh, I think that's going to change now, because that Pandora ride is so good.
I would never go on. I'm never going to go on that Pandora ride, because
you're going to miss out, dude. Flight of Passage is the greatest ride.
I will not support Avatar, because that movie's garbage, and I don't care how they immerse me in this world. And the other reason is Disney must be rolling in his grave that they kind of turned a whole one of the continents into Pandora. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I thought this was the Animal Kingdom of Earth's animals, not like made up imaginary animals.
I totally felt the same way you did before I got on the ride. I was like, well, we're at Animal Kingdom. Apparently, it's supposed to be good. It blew our minds. This ride is so good. And I don't give two fucking shits about James Cameron's Avatar. I think it's crap. But this ride redeems it slightly in that quality. And it should only exist as a ride. Let's just burn every copy of that movie and just maintain it as one of the best rides. Trust me. Trust me. It's that good.
Is this episode going to be just us talking about Disney World?
Maybe, which we're kind of not here to do, but I knew it would come in there. Yeah, so, you know, the thing about the ride is that you're getting a narrator. He's like a ghoulish narrator, and he welcomes the foolish mortals into the ride, and he takes you throughout this matter that, you know, it's in New Orleans Square, so it's, you know, based on, like, history, like how a lot of Gothic mansions from the Gothic era, excuse me, are typically haunted, you find in America. You know, putting it in New Orleans Square is like saying that New Orleans is haunted. It's not if you believe in it. That's a big selling point of the tourism in New Orleans. So, other than the drinking.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like, I'm pretty sure it's the boobs and the alcohol.
Well, the boobs. but yeah, so, you know, you're brought into an elevator, and then you get on the dune buggies and you go through all these different rides. And Madame Leota, you know, she's like a seance witch in one that lives in a little witch's ball, and she's floating in one. There's a bride ghost, you know, like, help me out. What are some of the other scenes that we see throughout the ride?
The one where they're dancing in the ballroom.
Yeah, that's fantastic, you know, because the animatronics are great.
You look in the mirror and there's a ghost in between you, or depending on where you're sitting, it's like,
yes,
your face, something like that.
Yeah. You go through the cemetery at night where there's just all these ghosts partying it up, and there's like the caretaker who's there and he's like scared out of his mind. It's a really cute scene.
Isn't there also are there talking statues or something?
Yes, there's like the head, what are those called?
Busts.
The busts, I guess. Yeah, there's like four or five busts that sing. I think, yeah, the bride, she has a hatchet, you know, here comes a bride, as long as we both shall live, for better or for worse, you know. Yeah, so this ride is pretty much the same in every version in all the parks, and it's not a ride that they've changed or updated much, because it's a classic and people love the classics. I would say that they should definitely upgrade the Pirates ride, especially compared to how it is in Shanghai. I mean, that ride just looks absolutely insane. And then when you compare it to the classic American version, like, it's just the dinkiest, stupidest ride. I'm sorry to lovers of Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, Orlando, the Shanghai Pirates of the Caribbean. It's modeled after the movies.
Oh.
And it's,
I don't know if I want to go on that ride either, then.
So I don't really care about the Pirates movies, but this ride looks really cool.
I actually do. Not that I care, but like, I actually like those movies. The first three.
I see.
I haven't.
Well, so, speaking of the Pirates movies, the original Pirates of the Caribbean was commissioned by Disney, and it was a sleeper hit. Do you remember when that first movie came out?
Yeah, I remember thinking, it was just like, why would they make a movie out of a ride? That was my initial reaction, right? Like, they made a movie out of this ride? I can't believe it. And then you watch it, and then Johnny Depp goes on to be nominated for Best Actor?
Yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow became so prolific that they actually added him to the ride, which he was never a part of before.
Right. He was an original character.
That movie, that series, though, was so huge and was just took Disney aback that they were like, oh my God, maybe we can do this with some of our other classic rides. This year, they actually took another ride and they made a movie with Jungle Cruise, with The Rock, and with Emily Blunt.
Which got good reviews, I heard.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be a sequel to that. But back in 2003, the same year as Pirates of the Caribbean came out, they decided to greenlight a Haunted Mansion film because it's like, what are our classic rides? What has everyone been on? What does everyone love? And what would they like to see come to life?
Right.
I think that the Haunted Mansion was a natural for that. Like, of course, the only other ride you could possibly think of, maybe other than Jungle Cruise, was the Haunted Mansion. Is there a ride that you would have liked to have seen a movie of?
They did a Tomorrowland movie.
Was that based on the ride?
Wasn't it? It was a Disney movie called Tomorrowland.
I never saw it.
So well, Tomorrowland is a land. It's not a movie. It's not a ride.
It's not a ride, yeah.
I guess maybe seeing a Space Mountain movie would be cool, but I don't know.
Oh, I wonder what that plot would be.
You're trying to terraform space on the mountain. I don't know. That's pretty.
Well, that's the thing. The Haunted Mansion already has a story built into it, so that's why.
No,
it, was,
it doesn't.
It has characters. It has, you know,
too
pretty
many
much
characters.
999 characters.
Yeah,
apparently.
Like, that's too many to keep track of. Pirates of the Caribbean had this for it, right? Where they were just like, we're just going to use, this is a movie by name only. Everything else was a straight up, you know, created for this movie. I think with the exception of Tortuga. I think Tortuga is also in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, which is the island where all the pirates like go and hang out.
Oh, okay. But so I don't like Pirates of the Caribbean. So.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just like, but
I wouldn't
Pirates
know,
of the Caribbean
but
had the advantage of like, we're just going to do everything fresh and stuff. And like, you know, yeah, like my initial reaction when the movie came out was just, oh, they made a movie based off of the ride, but they didn't depend on the ride's lore to generate what the movie was. For Haunted Mansion, you're kind of limited by the setting, and you're kind of limited if you're trying to cram in all those characters, and you're kind of just making a live action hokey ride.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why when the Haunted Mansion came out, it was a flop. So Haunted Mansion was directed by Rob Minkoff, who, you know, he pretty much lives in Disney's pocket. He's also done he actually directed The Lion King.
Wait, I thought John Favreau directed Lion King. The original?
The original. Oh. Yeah, he co-directed it with Roger Allers. But he did that. He actually directed the Stuart Little film and
I know,
the second
I've
film.
Seen those.
Yeah, me neither. But he was an animator on a lot of the 80s Disney movies, like The Black Cauldron and Great Mouse Detective and Little Mermaid. You know, so he was, I guess, a natural Disney senior at that point. He'd been working in the Disney ladder for a while to direct this film. Mm-hmm. And I think since then, you know, his directing credits haven't been as interesting, unfortunately. This film was written by David Barenboim, but a lot of it, again, was based on the ride and the lore of the Haunted Mansion. It stars Eddie Murphy.
Right.
And Marsha Thompson, or Thomason, I'm sorry, and Marsha Thomason as the Evers, to a married couple who has a real estate agency. And, you know, they have like a tagline where it's just like, you know, buy from the Evers and you'll be happily ever and ever or something like that.
Ever after?
Yeah, but like forever and ever.
Oh.
Ever
okay.
and evers. That was. You watched the movie, right?
I watched the movie. I don't remember the tagline. I go.
He said that. No. Well, he said that in the movie like a million
times.
It's
a very forgettable movie.
So you didn't watch it recently.
I watched it like literally like 2 days ago.
He said it like a million times in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, you know how much like it's just like it's not a good Eddie Murphy performance. This is.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's well, he's just being Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's like almost. I mean, I like Dr. Dolittle, and this is very similar to Dr. Dolittle, so you would have assumed it's just like, oh, I love this, and it's just like, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not.
You know?
Yeah.
And
well,
as
so,
a result, like, I'm just tuning out. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. Okay, so Jim Evers and Sarah Evers, they have two children, Michael and Megan, and he's overworked. He cares way too much about their real estate business and providing for his family that he kind of neglects his family. So
yeah,
one weekend they're like,
he's a workaholic for sure.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the same thing?
No, I feel like overworked, I think they have different connotations. Overworked means that you're like exhausted, like mentally, and like you but you're still working. What's the other one? The
workaholic.
A workaholic is someone who thrives off of work. Like, he was never tired of work. He just continues to keep going and going, trying to make a sale, to the detriment of his marriage and the kids, you know.
Okay, yeah, fair point. But yeah, so he's a workaholic, and he promises to take his family away for the weekend to a lake. Mm-hmm. But they get an offer, a last-minute phone call about trying to go see an old manor that they want to sell, and he, of course, cannot refuse it, even though his family, they're like, let's just do this later, or let's just skip it. He's like, no, business comes first. Mm-hmm. And of course, the phone call they get is to the Haunted Mansion, or is in this film called Gracie Manor. And in the opening credits, we're actually kind of given a backstory about what happened at Gracie Manor. Mm-hmm. A suicide, a death, another suicide, and, you know, pretty much a curse being put within the walls of Gracie Manor to make it thus the Haunted Mansion. What were you going
to
say?
Similar to Bly Manor.
Yes.
Curse that's upon yes. it, if you think about it. I guess it's just a very common trope, right? You die on the grounds, you get... You're cursed to live there for the rest of eternity until a spell is broken. That was also the plot of American Horror Story, the first season.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that people who do believe in ghosts and the lore of ghosts do believe that sometimes tragic deaths can lead you to wander the earth and to be trapped. And so a lot of people do believe that that's what happens to ghosts. So it's kind of based on, you know, ghost lore, actual ghost lore, for those of us who believe that spirits can wander the earth. And yeah, so the pretty much why they've been summoned to the manor is because they found out that Sarah Evers actually is the living doppelganger of the former owner of the manor's girlfriend, who killed herself, and then then killed himself. Fiance, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the whole point. Like, I think she's supposed to become the bride that we see, right?
Yeah, she's supposed to, yeah. So his name was Master Edward Gracie. He was in love with Elizabeth Henshaw. She died. She poisoned herself because they couldn't be together. And then he killed himself, right? But his spirit has then been trapped at the manor. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Sarah Evers looks just like Elizabeth. They believe that she's the reincarnation. So they lure her to the manor, but they did not expect that she would bring her family with her, because the phone call was really just meant for Sarah. But, you know, since the family's there, they are able to help her. What were you going to say?
Yeah, just remind me, if this movie takes place in New Orleans also, or is it just a manor?
It does, yes.
It does? Yes. No one had a New Orleans accent.
What's a New Orleans accent?
It's Southern Creole. It's like, there's like a Southern drawl to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, like, we'll see.
So that's why I don't even remember them mentioning New Orleans, and I'm like thinking, just like, wait, did anyone have an accent? I don't think anyone had a New Orleans accent.
Yeah, good point. I've never been to New Orleans, so I wouldn't know that that.
It's a Southern, you would have a Southern accent, even a little bit. Not a single character did. Now I'm angry.
Another reason to not like this film. Yeah, so at the end, they drive across the Lake Pontchartrain, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Causeway. So that's a indicator, if you're familiar with American geography, that did take place in New Orleans. I think they mentioned in the beginning, or on the flyer in the beginning.
Maybe.
You know, but yeah, so they live by a Louisiana bayou, pretty much.
Okay.
So they detain Jim from Sarah and the two children too, in order to, you know, have Edward Gracie spend time with Sarah and convince her that she is Elizabeth. And this is pretty much the plot. And while he's trying to make his way back to her and throughout the mansion, he comes across all of these characters that a lot of people would recognize from the Haunted Mansion. And it truly does not make sense. Because
what part of this doesn't make sense?
Well, why would Madame Leota be there, right? Like, this guy's house, but why is this woman just existing in this crystal ball? And for what reason can they all use her to see the future and all this stuff? Like, the science of it. And, like, even in ghost science, it doesn't really make any sense. The busts, they don't make sense.
We're
like, apparently.
About ghost science.
Name of the episode. I love it. Mm-hmm. So, all the other souls that got trapped since then at the mansion, sure. Okay, I buy that. But then why are the busts singing? Like, you can't establish ration to why things happen, but then throw in these things that make absolutely are irrational, you know, because then you're contradicting yourself. Had the film just been like completely irrational, like, well, it's a haunted, it's been a haunted mansion forever, then I wouldn't have like been like, but why is she here? Why does she, what purpose does she serve? She's literally just there because she's from the haunted mansion ride.
Yeah. Interesting choice to put Jennifer Tilly in that role, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought she was pretty good. I like Jennifer Tilly.
I like Jennifer Tilly too. I got to see her at Comic-Con last weekend. She
was there
for the Chucky panel.
I didn't really get to talk to you about how Comic-Con was. We got a chat later.
And, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because, again, I don't know. It takes me a little bit out of it because it's Jennifer Tilly. Is Jennifer Tilly? Jennifer Tilly has like a presence where like she's either playing a character that's very similar to Jennifer Tilly, or you just see Jennifer Tilly. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. 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 Well, it's interesting too because this film is very comedic. I think The Haunted Mansion is comedic in a lot of ways. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
You think this movie's comedic though, or is it trying to be?
I think, well, yeah, good point. It's trying to be comedic, you know. It's got Eddie Murphy in the lead. Wallace Shawn is one of the ghosts who I think is a usually a good indicator of, like, lighthearted fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also does try to be serious. Like, there's a villain in it. Terrence Stamp plays pretty much, spoiler, he's the villain. And he gets...
It was good. Okay, yeah, I think he's...
Major spoiler.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah.
He's the best part of the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, he's great. But at the end, he literally gets dragged to hell. So it's interesting, too, because this movie is like, oh, you know, it's a fun, lighthearted movie about ghosts.
But you're going to go to hell.
Dragged to hell.
Well, he was a bad guy. He's the reason that, like, she, you know, this couple didn't end up together. And I think the implication was it was because she was black, right? Like,
I think that was the implication, yes.
He's a white landowner, and she was a black woman that he was in love with. And
yeah,
the master of the house, not he's not the master, but, you know, the butler of the house is one who
took his job,
didn't approve
seriously,
of it.
Yeah.
And so he prevented the love of blossoming and stuff. So that's why.
Absolutely. And they never say it, but it's definitely implied in it. It actually, I think, it was one of the more effective parts of the story, because overall, I would say that this film is definitely it was a flop, and rightfully so. It just doesn't work for me at all. I don't feel any sort of bond or positive feelings towards the family. I'm indifferent. I don't care whether or not they get in or out. I don't care if she marries Edward and, like, you know, for the sake of her family. There's no real suspense for me. They just kind of go in and out of these different scenes. That's like the Haunted Mansion ride. And right. It's kind of nonsensical. And sometimes, you know, I'm all about it. I'm like, hey, let's just have fun. But the movie's not fun.
Right. It's kind of a drag.
So it's really uneven, you know, for a half an hour movie. It's kind of just like, I don't know, doesn't really ever find its footing and never really found its pacing. And
you said a half hour movie. It was like an hour and a half. But
I'm so sorry.
It was an exact hour and a half movie and stuff. And I wish it felt like a half hour. It did not.
Yeah, I wish so too. I wish it was more like it was lighter to watch, you know, like Hocus Pocus, which was a flop when it came out. But I think that film's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And that grew a cult following. I don't think there's a cult following for this particular movie.
No, but apparently I don't think so.
Cult following for the Haunted Mansion itself, because Disney was like, all right, well, let's go back to the drawing board on this one.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So actually, they announced that they would do a reboot of this film. Now, this has nothing to do with the Muppet one, by the way.
Oh, no.
They were going to get Guillermo del Toro involved.
Yeah, imagine a Guillermo del Toro haunts. Now, that I would watch.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
But that kind of fell through, right? Now it's somebody else. And
yeah, I think he did drop out.
Poor Guillermo del Toro. He always gets these cool assignments that, like, never come to fruition. So I don't know if he's just hard to work with, or, like, his demands terrify the studios to pull out.
Good point. You know, whether he might be one of those people that doesn't want to bend on his vision, which, you know, more props to you. I know one of my favorite filmmakers had to leave Ant-Man because he wanted it to be his film. And Disney was like, no, you got to make it like our formula. And Edgar Wright was just like, No, I want to. I'm a filmmaker. I want to make my film. So he left the project. And him. I was devastated because I would have loved to have seen that film. But good for you, dude. Like, if I wasn't going to get an Edgar Wright movie, I never would have watched. I never watched Ant-Man because of it. Anyway. But yeah, so there are talks of rebooting it. Did you think that this film worked in any way?
I'm trying to think, like, objectively. It's hard to say yes because, I don't know, the movie, I don't know. It was because you could tell that Eddie Murphy was just phoning it in. You know what I mean? Like, he was just not trying. And the kids, they were child actors and stuff. But, oh, this reminds me. You know, had I not rewatched the movie, I would have swore that Raven Simone was in this movie. But it turns out that she only did the music video for this song, like Superstition.
Of Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder's, yeah, that it would play on Disney Channel all the time, and that's why I was so convinced that, like, Raven Simone, like I'm saying, just like, wait, where's Raven? I thought she's in this. Like, maybe she's a ghost. And I even looked it up on IMDb. She's like, she is not in this movie. Why do I have vivid memories of Raven Simone in Haunted Mansion? Yeah, the child actors, I don't know. They were there. I felt like no conflict either because the mom kept complaining that, like, her Eddie Murphy's workaholism is, like, really hurting the kids, but they seemed fine. I don't know.
Yeah, like, they didn't, like,
I
the
never
daughter
got that
just
they were like,
yeah, like, yeah, they seemed they self-sufficient. Were neglected because of it. Yeah, yeah, the daughter in particular, she was just like, she seemed really impatient with her parents and, like, was like, ugh, you guys, you know, like, grow up. Ugh, I don't, like, distrustful of them more than anything. Yeah. Like, she was the parent in some ways, and that whole, like, trying to get the boy to be like a man and confront his fears thing. It just didn't work for me because they planted it early. But, like, I don't know, the way Eddie Murphy went about talking to his son about it, I thought was just, like, not effective at all in terms actual parenting and the story.
I agree. And it felt like kind of it felt so ham-fisted, right, where you know that it's going to be like, this is going to be important for later, you know, his fear of spiders.
And yes, just like, exactly.
I don't know. I guess predictable is this movie, which I guess is fine considering, you know, when you leave the ride, you know, you knew it was going to be corny from the get go. And when you leave and you're walking out of the ride, it's just like, wow, that was as corny as I thought it was going to be. That's what you get. And that's kind of the same experience with this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, and but Pirates of the Caribbean, this is not.
No. And I think Disney quickly realized that. That's why they didn't. Other than Tomorrowland, which we have to still confirm, they didn't commission another ride movie based off of a ride until Jungle Cruise.
Mm.
So almost 20 years later. That's a long time for Disney.
Mm. No, it's true. They're not. The mouse is not patient.
Yeah. So actually, they wanted to produce a Muppet Halloween special as early as the 90s, right? When Jim Henson was still alive. And they wanted to, right after Jim Henson's unfortunate passing, you know, there were a lot of projects that they wanted to make sure were going to get through to keep the Muppet legacy alive. And one of them was a Halloween special because they did so many Christmas specials that are just absolutely fantastic.
How many Christmas specials? I know Muppet Christmas Carol.
Well, that's a movie. They actually did a lot of TV Christmas specials. They did one with John Denver in 1978.
Oh,
and they have a Christmas album based off of it. It's actually, I think it's fantastic. I love it. Because I think John Denver is actually fantastic, and I love John Denver. They did another one called A Muppet Family Christmas in 1987, which is my absolute favorite Muppet Christmas property ever. I think it's better than Christmas Carol. And I mean, it's like they're neck and neck. And Jim Henson actually did another one. Oh, man, the name is escaping me right now, but it's not with, like, your classic Muppet characters, even though Kermit does narrate it. It's, like, it's kind of like the Nutcracker, and I just can't remember it. So, yeah, a few.
Are the Muppets hardcore Christians? Is that why they're always doing these Christmas movies? Like, where's a Muppet Jewish story or something?
Yeah, they are Gentiles. I guess. I mean, it's pretty clear.
Now I want to write to Disney, be like, where is a Muppet Hanukkah? Where is a Muppet Kwanzaa? Muppet Ramadan?
Oh, and Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas is another one, which doesn't... I think Kermit's briefly in it, but...
Those are just words.
I'm just saying stuff now. But pretty much, they then brought back the idea of having a Muppet property for a Halloween special as recent as 10 years ago. But this earlier this year, they pretty much said, big announcement, there's going to be a new Muppet film, and it's going to be exclusively on Disney Plus. And this was announced. And then I think they announced it back in like January, and now here we are. And
calling it a film is a little...
It's a short film.
This is like an hour-long special, basically.
Yeah.
How do you differentiate a special from a film? I mean, yeah, it's a short film, but I wouldn't call this a film.
I don't know. I mean, well, nowadays with streaming, you can't really call any of it film. We call it a film, but it's not made on film. It's all freaking digital. So yeah, let's just call it a Disney Plus original because that's what it is.
That's fair. That is fair.
But yeah, so I think they realized that a good way to tackle the Haunted Mansion property again, the ride, would be through something like the Muppets.
Right.
Because already you're throwing a lot out the window. You're throwing, you're telling a story through Muppets. So it's going to be sillier. You're going to be almost like cartoonish. You could be nonsensical and you don't have to care about things that you would if it was a live action film.
Mm-hmm.
Or strictly with, you know, human performers.
Yeah. But like you're in the Muppet universe. So it's just like, it's assumed that like things don't have to make sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes that checks out.
Yeah, nonsensical.
How long has it been since Disney has owned the Muppets?
Pretty much since Jim's death.
Oh wow, they didn't wait, huh? Mickey Mouse was just like, "Ha, it's all mine." Well,
yeah, there's a lot of yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so the plot of the Muppets Haunted Mansion is that Gonzo and Pepe won a fear challenge event. And they're sent to a haunted mansion that if they, you know, last the night, do they win money or they win bragging rights or something?
You know what? To be honest, I was actually thinking about that as we were going to record. I was just like, what the hell were they there? I think I thought they win the mansion. No?
I don't think so. I don't think it
was money. Because
I think it was just like
You think it was like bragging rights? Like the Great British Bake Off is just all about like the title?
Yeah, I think it was just bragging rights for Gonzo, because that's how Gonzo is.
Yeah, he wants to be the Gray Gonzo, and Kermit is just like, oh no, you're good, you're fine. I have a terrible Kermit impression.
I was about to say that wasn't bad.
Thank you.
I kind of enjoyed that.
Riddle, it's okay, boo. It's okay.
Aww. Nice. I scared him with my Kermit impression.
Yeah. But yeah, so Gonzo, if you don't know as a character, he's a daredevil. Like he's always pushing his own limits, and things that scare other people don't scare the Great Gonzo.
Is he an alien? Is that canon?
Yeah, that is canon in terms of Muppets from Space, you know, because Gonzo for his whole history has been referred to as a whatever. But then they found out that he actually was an alien who was left here on Earth. So, but he is alone, and he's actually a beautiful character in the Muppet universe for like represents people who feel like they're outsiders and people who feel alone in the world, you know, like to know that you never really are alone as long as you accept yourself and you love yourself for who you are and found family and all that stuff. So I love Gonzo because of what he represents in the Muppet
and he's non-binary world. Now
I think Gray Gonzo has always kind of been unofficially non-binary.
Well, he's officially non-binary on Muppet Babies.
There you go.
He wanted to wear a dress and they gave him permission. And that's like the storyline or something.
Aw, how nice. Yeah,
how cute.
But yeah, so they go because the Gray Gonzo's favorite magician, the Great MacGuffin, which, you know, Alfred Hitchcock there. He disappeared in that haunted mansion 100 years ago. And so he wants to go and kind of like, you know, be where his idol was, but maybe find out some truth about it. None of that is really clear.
He wanted to do what his idol couldn't do.
Which was last the night?
Yeah, survive the night.
Okay, there you go.
And Pepe thought there was going to be like a big mansion party full of famous people.
Yeah, also, he thought there would be famous people there.
And not Rizzo? Yeah, I was just ready for Rizzo.
Yeah, me too. Well, so that's because we grew up in the 90s when the pairing was Gonzo and Rizzo. Rizzo has pretty much been phased out by the Muppets.
What? Why?
Yeah, it's probably because the performer is retired.
Oh.
But it's also because I think people just I don't know. They've put Pepe more into the front, and Rizzo is not at all like considered one of the main Muppets anymore. He was like a 90s character.
But Rizzo has his own restaurant in Disney World, Rizzo's Pizzeria.
Yeah, he does. Well, that whole area, you know, that was supposed to be a whole world. The Muppet area was supposed to be a whole Muppet world with like multiple rides and stuff. So that little fraction is what was supposed to be. And that was, you know, around the time when Rizzo was really popular, getting popular.
Mm, interesting.
So the fact that he's still there is great. I'm happy about that.
So Pepe is Hispanic, right?
Yeah, I guess we could say that. Yeah.
I mean, he has like a Hispanic accent, and it makes sense, right? He's a prawn, probably from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, he's a prawn, and he does with an accent. Okay, that's his thing. Okay.
And he adds S's to words.
Yes.
Eddie found his character hysterical. He would laugh anytime King Prawn talks. And
I think Pepe's funny too.
I don't know. I miss Rizzo when I was kind of mad. I was like, why is Gonzo hanging out with this ugly prawn? Rizzo at least is a mouse.
I was
going to
say.
Oh, maybe there can only be one mouse.
Oh.
Mickey Mouse can't share that spotlight.
He's not a mouse. Rizzo's a rat.
Oh, that's fair.
Again, it could be that the performer Steve Whitmire is retired, but already by I think after Muppets from Space, Rizzo was pretty much phased out. So he wasn't in the Muppets. He wasn't in Muppets Most Wanted, not prolifically anyway. So a lot of the more recent, which reminds me, there's two more Christmas things I forgot about: A Very Merry Muppet Christmas, where it's like It's a Wonderful Life, but you know, with Kermit, and Letters from Santa. So two more Christmas properties that the Muppets have been in.
Wow.
And not a Hanukkah one. So
no, I'm you know what? Jim Henson, I'm gonna say it, maybe racist. At least anti-Semitic.
Okay, we're gonna stop there. So of course, when they're in the Haunted Mansion, they encounter a lot of the same ghosts that the Evers encountered in their film. We see Madame Leota, but this time it's Miss Piggy. We see the busts. I think they're famous people in this one. The portraits, they come to life and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Darren Criss is the caretaker, and he's talking about, you know, all the evil stuff that goes on in the house.
And breaks out into song.
He sings pretty much Grim Grinning Ghosts from the original ride.
Oh, okay.
The bride is a prolific character in this one. She's played by Taraji P. Henson. And...
Black Widow.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much there's kind of like a plot here, but it's really, really small and kind of thrown in at the end, mm-hmm. where the only way that Gonzo can leave this place alive is if that he faces his fear. And his fear is that he really is afraid of being alone. And this is the recurring theme around the character of Gonzo, because Gonzo's the only one of his kind. And that, you know, it's hard to be someone like him who doesn't have a family, or at least he doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. And like other people look at him and they don't know what he is. So he has to face his fear of not only being alone, but feeling alone. And he grows to realize that he actually has a wonderful found family who love him and accept him. And that there's no way, as long as he has them and he loves himself, that he could ever be alone. So that's kind of like the plot. Right. Even though it's just kind of thrown in at the end for him.
I mean, the whole thing of the movie was, right, like King Prawn was like getting a little skittish as the night progressed, and Gonzo was kind of just like, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. And then Will Arnett is there saying, it's just like, you will face your fear.
That's right. Yeah. So Will Arnett is kind of like their ghost host, and they're pretty much trying to scare them, and nothing scares a great Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
But then they realized that the only way to scare him was to, you know, give him a more internalized fear of yourself,
Oh, yeah. I mean, internal self-reflection is probably the scariest thing most people have to do on a regular basis. You know,
heck,
I mean?
Yeah. Heck, yeah. You keep calling him King Prong. His name is Pepe.
Oh, I'm never going
to. It's probably because...
he was a King Prawn.
And I think Taraji P. Henson, what does she keep calling him?
King Prawn.
Was it something else? She just kept calling him King Prong?
No, the king or the prawn would like kind of echo, reverberate because it was like magic or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they try and scare him and that's how they finally get to him. But meanwhile, Pepe, he's just desperately trying to find the party where these famous people are at. And he comes across John Stamos only to find out that he was a ghost. But then the Taraji P. Henson character, Countess Hatchway, lures him and I guess is feeding him spiders or something and is slowly like killing his soul in order so that she can steal his soul as like her sixth husband.
Wait, is that what she was doing? I thought she was just getting him fat or something to eat.
I guess. I mean, but like, then why was he eating spiders?
I don't know. He's like he's an animal. Let him up and do what they do. I mean, God was in love with chickens.
It seemed like she was poisoning him or something because, like, she was definitely feeding him spiders.
Uh huh.
But it was like grapes / spiders and all this stuff to, I guess, yeah, make him fat and make him weak and make him so out of it that he would agree to marry her. And then once they were married, she'd kill him and steal his soul.
I mean, isn't that real life?
That is, yeah.
Isn't that how we all end up in marriage? They fatten us up with spiders, and the next thing you know, here you are. Your soul has stolen.
I wish Eddie was here to comment on that.
Right.
Well,
when Eddie's away, Rolando will play.
It's less than an hour. It's really just them going in and out of different scenes and bringing a lot of, just like in the Haunted Mansion film from 2003, mm-hmm. They're just bringing all these different scenes that we know from the ride to life. Do you think it was that it worked in this property? Do you think it worked more or less than the film? Like, what are your thoughts?
I mean, it worked more than the first Haunted Mansion. I don't.
Why?
Well, like, you know, the Muppets are the Muppets and they don't need to follow the rules of reality. And therefore, you can do whimsical stuff. And then they constantly, you know, when they were breaking the fourth wall, such as when Miss Piggy was like, this is my biggest role. And I'm like ahead inside this crystal ball. Which,
yeah,
you know,
no, exactly.
They're good at doing, but I don't know. It was.
I would agree. So I feel the same way. And like I said in the original, when we were talking about the 2003 film, is that, you know, they tried to make things like really rational. They tried to establish a ghost science as to why these things were there. But then they threw in all these other things that didn't make any sense and were kind of irrational and didn't really seem to go with the world that they built, right? And the rules that they set. But when you already introduce something within the world of the Muppets, you could throw all of those things out the window, right? It is kind of like this meta thing you get with the Muppets because they can do things like break the fourth wall and address the character and go in and out of playing a character and playing themselves because of the format that's in, you know? Like, you already, it's like this hyper-awareness that you're watching a film and that we're just putting on a play for you. It's not trying to, you know, get caught up so much in the story. It's more so about the fact that they're putting on a show. So right there, you can tackle something like this and just throw in all of these things. And part of the fun, too, is like, let's Muppify it and let's see Miss Piggy in this role and let's see Kermit in that role and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So overall, it's a better way to approach something like this. And I think that since The Haunted Mansion has, it is like a lighthearted, fun, comedic quality to the ride, the mm-hmm. Muppets are a great way to bring that to this film and not keep it so scary. You know, it's more so like, ooh, fun, kitschy stuff, which is what I like about The Haunted Mansion. Unless you're a child, because a child would find that probably very scary.
I don't think so. You have to be like an infant, I think.
Hey, man, you know, like everyone has their different things that scare them. And a lot of people are scared of ghosts.
That's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, so I do want to say my favorite thing, though, was at the end. When the ghost host revealed himself to be the Great MacGuffin, and then spoiler, and then he has like a his sidekick was a fish, and the fish was French. And he was talking. I found it so funny.
The Muppets really have a way of getting to you in a way that I wish they got to me. And I love the Muppets. I'm not some jaded person who does it.
I think it's because it's just so stupid, you know, and it's like so silly. And he's just like this character that pops in and out and is like, it's actually very stereotypical. Even like Pepe in a way is kind of a stereotype of, you know, Latin men and stuff. But because it's a Muppet and it's more of a caricature. Hey, I'm Latinx. I could say this. Okay. and I think that it doesn't come off as racist. It just comes off as silly. Now, of course, everyone feels different. And if somebody was offended by that, you know, hey, I'm not going to say what you can and can't be offended by, obviously. But I actually enjoy their caricatures, and that's kind of what they've always done. And they came from, like, you know, Jim Henson established this in the 60s. It was a different time. But I've always felt like it's a loving portrayal that they do, you know, even though they reduce things to caricatures of, you know, a Latin person or a French person or whatever. It's all in good fun. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, anyone, I guess I would encourage you to just, like, lighten up about it. But of course, if you're deeply offended by it, then I apologize. And
I mean, I don't know who could be deeply offended by Pepe, but if you are, I don't know, let me know why. it could just be, you know what, it could just be because it's the ugly Muppet. It's just like, well, why do we Hispanics have to get the ugly Muppet? Why can't we be a cute, like, rabbit of some sorts?
Yeah, this is true. There is a rabbit character too. So.
No, I remember the rabbit character. He would show up. Wasn't he like super adorable or something? That's the storyline.
He's not super adorable, but he's like based on like Peter Rabbit and all those rabbits from your youth. So he's got that naive quality about him.
That's it. He's like super naive. He's adorable. Yeah. And like, I thought that's why they hated him, because he's so fucking annoying.
Oh.
Is that my own read into it?
I think that's your own read.
All right.
Nobody in the Muppets hates someone else. They don't hate.
No, so. I could have swore that people hated like Gonzo. Doesn't Miss Piggy hate Gonzo?
Miss Piggy hates Gonzo because in the early years he never respected her boundaries and would like, you know, like he had a huge crush on her and would like try and like get with her, and she's like, I'm all about the frog, leave me alone. The only person that people didn't like was Miss Piggy, because Miss Piggy can be a diva, but, you know, it was kind of borderline sexist in the earlier seasons of the Muppet Show, so they kind of toned that down.
I don't know. I like Miss Piggy's diva-ness.
Yeah, and I think they've kind of taken it a little too far recently, because I've said this before, but the thing about Miss Piggy is that she's actually deeply insecure, and she's not so much a diva as much as it's just a projection of that deep insecurity. But more recent portrayals of Miss Piggy have made her out just to be a bitch. And she's not. She's not a bitch. She's actually a good person. But,
people,
you know,
evolve. Muppets can evolve too. Maybe.
Instead of actually having some heart, now she's just this one-dimensional creature. I guess that's how she evolved.
So I guess she and Mr. Kermit are back together?
Yes. According to this, they are back together.
I remember when they broke up and like he went to another pig, which is, I feel like, you know, Kermit, you had your chance out. You go back to a piggy. You couldn't go to, I don't know what other, there's not that many female animals in the Muppets that I know. There's that rocker with like animal.
She's Janice?
Janice Joplin. Oh yeah, my Janice. God. Is her name Janice?
Look at that. Her name is Janice. Yeah. But she's with Sergeant Pepper, so Floyd Pepper.
Are they together?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. You know the lore of the Muppets.
I know a lot about the Muppets.
So Disney World.
Were you going to say? No, you.
That Disney World is celebrating the Muppets Haunted Mansion. They have, like, apparently exhibits going on in Disneyland and, like, in the theme park resorts. They have, like, special pictures up in the resorts, like, in the hotels. And you can collect at Pizza Rizzo 4 different delicious Muppet eclairs for the movie.
Aw, well, I wish I went to Disney now.
I mean, oh, now's the time to go for the 50th anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely. I watch all those Disney. Here's a shameless plug if you guys. No, I'm not even plugging myself. I'm plugging this YouTuber that I follow. But Disney Food Blog Guide is the best Those videos are like cracked me. I will watch one every morning as I'm getting dressed. I don't know why. Like, wow. I'm not going to Disney World anytime soon, but I love watching to see what's happening in Disney World. I love Disney World. Hate their rides, but I love the atmosphere.
Hate their rides. That's a bold statement.
I think a lot of their rides are so corny. Like, they have like a few good rides and the rest are kind of just like, I'm there for it to be immersed in the Disney World universe.
Which is so funny because those corny ass rides, they immerse you in the movies that you grew up loving and you're just like not about it.
And you know what the other thing is that I do love? I just love the capitalism of it all. Like just shopping and the spending money. It's just so lucrative. I mean, you're there to get away and like to kind of like just unplug from the world because you're in Disney World. And so I love it for that. I'm actually making an entire Dungeons and Dragons campaign based off of the idea of a Disney World kind of land. So
it's true. He is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love Disney World and watching this. So did this movie make you want to go to Disney World again to go on a Haunted Mansion? Because the first movie did not. This one more, a little bit more.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. And of course, the timing, you know, it's the 50th anniversary. So they're going to push a movie to honor one of their most classic rides. Mm-hmm. So I'm really good timing on Disney's part.
Oh, do you think that's why they did?
100%. I think that's Cruise? Why. Well, Jungle Cruise was supposed to come out last year, but got pushed back because of COVID.
Oh, well, timing worked out.
But timing, at least it was a year before. I definitely think that this brings like that exciting feeling that you feel about the Disney parks with it more than the original did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just overall more fun too. And if I were to recommend to our listeners any property of the Haunted Mansion that they wanted to watch this spooky season, I'd say just stick to the Muppets one personally.
I would recommend just skip the Haunted Mansion altogether. Watch the parts of the
or Hocus Pocus. How about that? We're talking about spooky Hocus season Pocus recommendations. So
Hocus Pocus over the thing, which I don't know. Is it coming out? What's the deal with this?
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a sequel. I think they're filming it now, or at least pre-production's happening. Right, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible.
I hope not. You know what? Any excuse to talk about it next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down, but we just know it's going to be terrible. But yeah, so I think we should just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's leave it at that, guys. What are your thoughts on The Haunted Mansion? The ride, the movies? Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is Remakes Reboots Revivals. You can also check us out on Facebook.com/Remakes Reboots Revivals. And drop us an email. Our email address is RemakesRebootsRevivals@gmail.com. And we also have a hotline. Nicole, drop it like it's hot.
That hotline number is 862-248-2326. One more time, 862-248-2326. Call us. We might play it on the air, and we might respond to you, and we probably will. We did a whole episode about it. So give us a shout out. And thank you so much for listening. Well, until next time,
stay unoriginal.